In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Today we celebrate the feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into heaven. And of course, the feast itself is one in which we mark her entrance into heaven, not just her soul, but also her body. It is such that it's been declared as a dogma of faith, and it is to be believed by all Catholics. It's an important feast in the year because of what it means in the context of the life of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Oftentimes we think about the fact that she enters into heaven, body and soul, to join her beloved Son. But we don't really think about it in context of her whole life. We need to think about more about her entire life and what kind of a life that was. We know that in this life, she was conceived in the normal way, in the womb of Saint Anne, Saint Joachim, whose feast is tomorrow. The father of the Blessed Virgin Mary was, of course, her earthly father. It was done in the normal way, but there was something different about it as well. It was done in such a way that she was conceived without the stain of original sin. It was, of course, a preparation for the fact that she was to become the Mother of God, her claim to fame. So she was conceived without the stain of original sin. She then lived her life in such a way that she never committed any personal sin either. So she did not have the stain of original sin, nor did she have any personal sin throughout her entire life. Her entire life was spent in honoring God, 100%, without any failure on her part at all. And so this whole life of hers was something that pleased God in a very important way, a very intimate way. It was such that she always thought of God first. Always Godhead was first in priority. She did everything she did for the love of God. Whether it was the simplest of tasks of sweeping the floor at Nazareth, or in standing at the foot of the cross at the time of the Passion, she did it for the love of God. And she saw everything that she did, even though there were many difficulties in her life, she saw in them that it was God's will. And because of this fidelity, because of this great fidelity that she had to God, that when she ended her earthly life here, down here on earth below, God rewarded her for that. Her soul was in no way stained, and so when she died, her body did not suffer the corruption of the grave either. In the Eastern Church, they refer to her leaving as her dormition, her sleep, she went to sleep. And of course, she was then assumed into heaven. There's different opinions on what time it was, but from the time that she ended her life and when she was assumed into heaven, some say it was maybe 3 days in imitation of our Lord. But nevertheless, she did not suffer the corruption of the grave. And she is body and soul in heaven. The fact that she is body and soul in heaven has several aspects to it which are important for us. Important for us in that we know that she enjoys fully her presence with God because she enjoys it in body and soul. The other saints at this point in time enjoy the presence of God in the beatific vision with their soul, but their body not yet. Their body is still in the grave. So she has this completeness of joy that she has the privilege of having because she is body and soul in heaven. She pleased God in all ways. She did everything for God. And so God has a special place for her above all of the other angels and saints. She also is a very powerful intercessor before the throne of God for us. Because she is so intimately connected to our Lord, she can obtain many things for us by her intercession. Things that we would not be able to attain by directly asking God can be attained by her interceding for us. That's the power, for instance, of something just like the rosary. It's a very powerful tool. But there's another thing that we need to think about that she did during her life, and it should actually help to inspire us in our lives as well. Because she was such an intimate friend of God, she has such power with God because she did God's will throughout her entire life. She never offended God in any way. She always sought to do God's will. And so she is this intimate friend of God, closely linked to God, part of this heavenly family, which she is the mother of our Lord. She's the spouse of the Holy Ghost and the daughter of God the Father. And she, as I said earlier, can obtain many things because she is such a close friend of God. She's a tool that's very powerful, a tool which can achieve many things because of her sanctity. You know, a tool is powerful. The more powerful a tool is, the more the ability it has to accomplish what it's meant to do. So, like, for instance, you have a knife. Take, for instance, a simple instrument like a knife. If it's a very dull knife, it's not going to cut very well. And you say, this is worthless. This is useless. It's a useless knife. It's so dull, I can hardly cut anything with it. But a very sharp knife is such that it goes right through what you're trying to cut. It cuts it very easily, and it's a joy to use because it accomplishes its task so well. The idea of a very, very sharp knife is the idea of the image of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The idea of a dull knife is one of a soul that's dulled by the stain of sin that is not capable of really achieving much because of its dullness. We sometimes wonder why we have these difficulties in our lives, and it seems like our prayers are not answered very well, and we seem to be muddling throughout this life, not accomplishing much. Part of it is because we need to think about how we deal with God. What is our relationship to God? How do we deal with God? Are we such a dull knife that we just can't really cut through anything? We can't achieve what we're meant to achieve? I think part of it is that. We busy ourselves with all kinds of other concerns, devoid of God, or we maybe just give God token honor, and then we wonder why in our spiritual life we are so dull in many ways, not accomplishing what we need to do. It's because we don't take care to make sure that we have the tool that we're using is not conditioned, it's not sharpened. It's not such that it can achieve its end very easily because it's dulled by all of the cares of this life, all of the concerns of this life, all the pleasures of this life. And so because of it, we don't accomplish what we're meant to do. The lesson for us in all of this is that we need to take care of our souls, that we need to keep God as first priority, that we need to sharpen our souls so that it can be such that it can be used as an instrument which can reach God, which can reach the heart of God, which pleases God in what it does. The Blessed Virgin Mary is an example of what we need to do. She's the prime example of what we need to do. And it's her that to intercede for us, but it's also her that is a model for us. She is a model for us. She's a model of what we need to do in order to be such that we are more effective in our relationship with God, that we work to please God, that we keep God as our first priority. This time that we have right now, between now and the 22nd of August, is a very special time. Formerly, it used to be an octave. An octave between the Assumption and the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It was a time that we, of course, considered at length this sanctity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the importance of her spiritual life and how she relates to us and how she relates to God. I would propose that during this time, maybe we have a little time to reflect, to consider, to think about what we need to do, to maybe rid ourselves of some of our preoccupations, some of the things that are distracting us from our end, from our purpose in life, from what we are meant to do. And reattach ourselves to those things which are the essentials. To think and reflect upon the life of the Blessed Virgin Mary, to imitate her great fidelity, to be faithful on our end to what we need to do, to get our priorities where they need to be, in order to work to please God, in order to sharpen our soul, in order to make it like a sharp knife, to renew our fervor in God by imitating that fervor that was the fervor of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's a time that we can have during this octave in order to have a greater appreciation for the Blessed Virgin Mary, to be such that we imitate her, to follow her good example. It's necessary for us to realize this, to not be distracted by all these things that are around us. They're simply distractions. They're simply things that pull us away from what the essentials are. And we need to rid ourselves of these distractions, these things that pull us away, these preoccupations that we have that will pull us away from God. We see the example of the Blessed Virgin Mary. We know that what she did. We know what we need to do. And we have to then do it. By so doing, we become not only friends of the Blessed Virgin Mary, but friends of God by her imitation. It is interesting to listen to what we know about the Blessed Virgin Mary, to realize her power before God. You know, the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is a very special feast as well, which echoes this sanctity that she had throughout her entire life. It's such that she pleased God in all these ways, and she has, therefore, this power before the throne of God. One of the things in our day, in our difficulties that we have today, one of the things that we pray for is the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and the fact that she will intercede for us. It's very interesting that it's the prediction that the Immaculate Heart of Mary will triumph. In fact, that's the prophecy made by Our Lady of Fatima. In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. And one of the comments made about the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Immaculate Heart, and under the title Immaculate Heart, is that the reason why God is using this tool, the Blessed Virgin Mary and her Immaculate Heart, the reason why he's using this tool as a means by which the triumph will occur is to show the power of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. She has such power before God because of her sinlessness, because of her fidelity to God, because of her holiness, because of her sanctity that she practiced all during her life. And she continues to practice in heaven by interceding for us. So let us ask her for help, she who is there at the throne of God, she who can help us in our difficulties. And let us not only just ask her for her help, but also work to cooperate with the graces that she has obtained by imitating her in our daily life and working to put our priorities back in place where they need to be so that we can imitate her in her sanctity so that we can be pleasing to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.